Father, as always, I thank you. Because when we look into the perfect law of liberty, it brings us into light and it brings us closer to you. And it also gives us understanding. Let it shine in our hearts this morning. The light that comes from the word of God. Let it be a faith booster. And I lift that up this morning in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, I want to talk about, you know, the lesson today being relentless faith brings assured results. You can already tell from the title what we are going to talk about. But just an encouragement for every one of us today. We start off with Mark chapter 9 and verse 23. Jesus said himself that all things are possible to him that believes. Wow. We know that, we already know that, you know, all things are possible to God. But here, Jesus says, all things are possible to him that believeth. We're going to take a look in this lesson today from our perspective, not from God's perspective. You know, God, we already know, you know, it is our Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Jesus said that already. You know, it's God's good pleasure to do these things for us. You know, then why is it then that we don't have these things that we are asking for? Or why are there delays? I mean, given that Jesus already told us it's the Father's good pleasure to give us these things. And if it is the Father's good pleasure, Luke chapter 12 verse 32 tells us that. He even says, fear not, which means be not afraid, little flock. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And if the Lord is going to give us the kingdom, and it is his good pleasure thereof, then we are assured that we will get what we ask of him. But why is it then that we don't sometimes? Or there's a long delay. What must we do? Or what must we continue to do? Praise the Lord. So let's look at a few lessons in the Bible today on this kind of relentless faith. Relentless faith and the results that come with that. You know, we already know that God said that even Jesus addressing the people said, look, you who are evil in nature, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, well, how much more then your Heavenly Father give you good things? You know, so if any of us who are fathers are asked of our son bread, will you give him a stone? Jesus asked. And if he asks, you know, for a fish, will you give him a serpent? Or if he asks for egg, would you give him a scorpion? Well, if we will not do that, then Jesus said, well, how much more? Your Heavenly Father, then the things that you ask of him, he would most certainly give them to you. Now, these are the assurances that Jesus, you know, told us in the word. But what I want to focus on today is having these assurances. You know, why then is it that, you know, sometimes these things still don't happen? You know, you can read Matthew chapter 7. And I love this. I'm going to just read a few verses from Matthew 7. Ask and it shall be given you. Matthew 7:7. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And I did a lesson about this a few months back called Triple Action Faith. A-S-K. A is for ask. S is for seek. And K is for knock. And that's how you spell ask. You ask, you seek, you knock. And Jesus said, look, for everyone, see, that asketh receiveth, and everyone that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh he shall be opened. Or what man of there is there of you, whom is, if his bread, his son shall ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or will he give him a fish? I mean, a serpent for fish? Or scorpion for egg? And so on. If ye then, being evil, he said, you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask of him? Well, but sometimes these good things, they are delayed. Or even sometimes it looks like it's bad things coming our way. What must we do? What's the posture that we must have? Well, Jesus telling a story, we alluded to this yesterday. Jesus told us many stories, you know, of how we should be persistent in prayer. I should be persistent in prayer. And how we should not give up and how we should not give in. Furthermore, there's a few lessons here of some stories that we want to read. People who would not turn loose, who would not give up, give in, or be denied. You know, and they would stay right there until they got what they wanted from the Lord. Many good examples in the Bible. Let's start with the stories that Jesus himself told, you know, which we alluded to these yesterday. I'm just going to go through them very quickly. There are a few more detailed stories I want to get to. But the stories that Jesus told in Luke chapter 18, we know he told the stories of the widow woman who asked the judge to help her. In Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8. And the judge wouldn't do anything at first, but because she continued to ask daily, the man said, well, if I don't do something, this woman will weary me. That's Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8. We covered that before. Well, there's also the story in Luke chapter 11, you know, verses 5 to 8. The man, and I alluded to this also the other day, the man who went to his friend and say, he knocked there and said, can I borrow, can I have some bread to set before my guests? The stores are closed. The man from inside said, go away. My children are in bed. But the man would not go away. And he kept knocking. And the only way to get rid of him was the man had to get up, give him what he wants, and send him away. Jesus told these stories. Now, furthermore, let's see some real life things that happened. I mean, people who the answer initially seemed negative to them, but how they would not turn loose. I mean, there was this woman in Matthew chapter 15. Her story is in verses 22 to 28. And she came and asked Jesus for a miracle for her daughter. But Jesus did not even answer her a word, you know, and she came, I mean, she continued to press, you know. So let's pick up this story. There are some interesting elements of this story. There was a woman of Canaan, which came out of some coast, cried unto him, said, have mercy upon me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Matthew 15 and 22. But he answered her not a word. So there are times when we are praying. This woman is desperate. My daughter is grievously vexed. But why was Jesus be silent to such a prayer? I mean, such a plea for mercy and for help. It's because he's trying to bring out a lesson for us. The first thing we see here is that Jesus did not answer this woman a single word. But let's see what the woman did. Whereas Jesus didn't answer. The disciples even came to, you know, the Jesus and said to him, send her away. You know, she's bothering us, crying after us and so forth. Send her away. The disciples themselves, I'm sure, they tried to send her away. She wouldn't listen. So they probably went to Jesus and said, well, if you tell her, then she'll listen to you. But she wouldn't listen to us. We tried to send her away. And Jesus answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I mean, why would he say a thing like that? I mean, what about the rest of the people? Well, that was his mission initially. Remember the parable that Jesus told of the two sons? He came to the first son. The father said, go do something in my field today. And he said, well, I am not going. So he went to the second. Go do some work in my field today. The second said, I go right away, sir. But he did not. And Jesus turned around and asked them, which of these two sons did the father's will? Because afterwards, the one that said, I will not go, repented and went. So, the I will not go people are Israel. God came to them first, but they wouldn't do it. They rejected him. So he went to the Gentiles. And then Gentiles said yes, but at the end they rejected him. But then the Jews came back and received him. So we see the mystery of God working here. But Jesus said, look, I came first to the house of Israel. You know, so and this woman, you know, was a woman of Canaan, was a Greek or a Syrophoenician, wasn't really of the household of Israel. She didn't have the right to call Jesus the son of David because, you know, she didn't have that right. And then so Jesus didn't answer her anything. And finally, this woman came and worshipped him and said, Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. Now God, you know, God is telling us something here and showing us something because now Jesus is going to respond to her. But it's still not a favorable response. She's going to get a response now, but still not a favorable response. Now, people say when you pray, you know, sometimes God is silent. Sometimes he says no. Sometimes he says yes. Well, there are many times that the answer may be negative at first. You say, and that, you know, then what do you do? Well, this was an example of this woman. The answer, when he eventually came, I mean, first, you know, Jesus didn't answer her. And then next, Jesus said, look, you know, I'm not sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I mean, but unto them. So not to anybody else. Next, she came and worshiped you, and Jesus said, look, I cannot take the children's bread and give it to dogs. I mean, Jesus tried everything to discourage this woman. But he was bringing out a point. He already knew himself what he would do. He already knew the end result of this. But this lesson is bringing us, I mean, this story is bringing us a great lesson here. When the answer finally came, initially he didn't answer. And then when he did, he said, no, I can't do it. You know, you don't, you know, you are not entitled to this. But what did the, what was the woman's response? You know, so what is your response when the answer from God appears to be no? Especially for something that you know God already said you should have. I mean, take for instance, you know, you're praying for healing. God already said, you know, healing is the children's bread right here, you know, and all the other promises we've dealt with concerning healing from time to times, you know, Malachi 4 verse 2, unto them that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. I mean, Isaiah 53 and verse 5. I mean, you know, the Lord paid for our peace. He paid for our healing. You know, Exodus 15 and 26. I will not put any of these sicknesses upon. I mean, on and on and on and on. And yet, the answer is no. You know, or you don't get a favorable answer at first, like this woman. Then what do? You know, well, here's what you do. The woman responded in kind. You have to wait. You have to watch what the Lord says. Pick up on it. You know, the Lord said to this one, I can't take the children's bread and give it to dogs. And the woman said, well, okay, that's good. I mean, But even the dogs, you know, patiently wait at the foot of the table. We eat the crumbs that fall to the table. And the crumbs are good enough for me. Oh, my goodness. Think about that for a minute. I mean, she could have run off and be completely offended and say, are you calling me a dog? I mean, I'm here asking for mercy, and you're telling me that you can't take children's bread and give it unto me? I mean, am I a dog then? And there's all kinds of things she could have said. But she didn't say any of that. She just said, well, yeah, that may be true, but, you know, even the dogs can eat of the crumbs that fall from the table. And when the Lord heard that, he said, oh, woman, great is thy faith. Now, let's get a lesson out of that. This woman's faith, Jesus called it great because she would not be denied. You know, we didn't know that she had great faith at first. All we knew was she was just asking Jesus to do something for her. You know, but by this exchange between her and the Lord, we see that Jesus is characterizing her faith as great because she would not be denied. She would not be denied. Even when the answer was no, she persisted and she would not be denied. And at the end, the Lord said, wow, great is your faith. You know, and he said, be unto you even as thou hast desired. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. So that's a good lesson for us. She would not be denied. Now, there's another man here also that would not be denied. A couple more stories I will tell us. Two or three more stories of a man that would not be denied. You know, in the book of Mark chapter 10, there is this story of a man called Bartimaeus. Let's pick up the story in verse 46 of Mark chapter 10. This man was blind. You know, in fact, most people, when they talk about this story, they call him blind Bartimaeus. But, you know, I don't like to define the man by the fact that he was blind. His name was Bartimaeus. His name was not blind Bartimaeus, you know, but he just happened to be blind. You know, so, you know, there was a day that Jesus was passing by from one place to another. There was a great multitude that followed him. Let's pick up this story in verse 46 of Mark 10. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude of people, blind Bartimaeus, you know, this blind is an adjective here, that he was blind. It was not part of his name. The son of Timaeus, he sat by the wayside begging. And when he heard that he was Jesus of Nazareth, because he heard, what is all this, you know, movement, the ruckus and everything happening? And he said, oh, Jesus of Nazareth is passing this way. He said, wow, Jesus of Nazareth, the one we've heard that doing all these great things? He said, yep. And so he began to cry out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many of them that were with him, they charged him that he should hold his peace. Just like the disciples tried to get the woman sent away. He said, hold your peace. You know, you don't want all this shouting and crying. But the man, he cried out the more. See, there are many things that will try to silence your voice when you are reaching out to God. Many things. Discouragements. You know, people say, well, you know, just take it. That's not going to happen. Or it hasn't happened before. Or look at the cases of that other person and this and that person and so forth. The devil will bring all kinds of things. Try to silence your voice and, you know, keep you quiet. But this man cried out even the more. The more they tried to shut him up, the more he cried out, and he kept crying out the more. And when Jesus heard, you know, the plea for mercy, have mercy on me, Jesus stood still. You know, now if you don't know any how to pray, you've done everything and nothing seems to be working, try calling upon God for his mercy. Put forth this issue about his mercy. Put that forth. You know, sometimes we, you know, I mean, we trust in our faith, and you must have faith, you know. And I'm a man by the grace of God that know a thing or two about faith all my life. But there are times that, you know, and many times, and even more lately, there are many times that I'm relying on his mercy, not so much my faith. But even my faith, too, will believe that if I call on his mercy, you know, he will answer me. The mercy of God is his favorite attribute. We see that that's the way he himself talked about himself. And I've said this multiple times on this platform. Exodus 33, Moses said, "Show me your glory, Lord." And the Lord said, "Well, here's what I'm going to do. Go over here," and I pass by and so forth. You know, and then in Exodus 34, the Lord passed by him and the Lord declared the name of the Lord. The Lord himself declared his own name. And the first things out of his mouth, God's mouth, about himself, you know, was his mercy. And the Lord declared and said, "I am the Lord God," you know, merciful and gracious, you know, and abundant, you know, in goodness and all of these things. And he began to say, the Lord began to say so many things about himself. But he started out with merciful. Hallelujah. You know, the mercy of the Lord. So when you put that forth towards God in prayer, you are challenging him about what he himself said. Listen to this in Exodus 34 and verse 5. "And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him," that was Moses there, "and the Lord proclaimed the name of the Lord." Now, this is the Lord proclaiming his own name. This is not what Moses said about God. This is not what somebody else said about him. This is what God said about himself. You know, God said, you know, he passed by him and said, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands," and so on. I mean, this is the first, it's like you, when you say you put your best foot forward. I mean, this is God putting forth his best attributes. The first things about himself, called himself merciful and gracious. So anytime that you can latch on to that attribute of God in prayer, you are very likely to get his attention. I mean, Jesus stood still. Back to our story here in Mark chapter 10. He stood still because this man was calling on his mercy. And he stood still. And it's like, you know, stopping, you know, we use the word stopping dead on his tracks. Well, no, Jesus is not dead, but you know the phrase. I mean, stood still and say, "Wow, you mean Jesus was going somewhere and someone's cry can make him stop?" Well, absolutely. That's what happened in this case. You know, this man's cry actually made Jesus to stop. And when he stopped, he turned around, looked at him, he looked for the man, and he called for him, you know. And so the people told him, "Be of good comfort. The master is calling for thee." Well, that's a good thing right there. But listen, he could have been discouraged when people told him to shut up. He couldn't even see the Lord. All he did was he heard, you know, the noise of the multitude and everything. And he said, "What's going on?" Couldn't even see. But when the Lord heard his cry for mercy, called for him, my goodness, Bible says he cast away his garments and came to Jesus. And the Lord asked him, "You are asking for mercy. What is it that you want?" But the man, up to this time, he hasn't really said what he wants. Jesus knows what he wants, but the man hasn't said it. He's just saying, "Have mercy on me." Well, have mercy on me. That's good. I mean, but that's a like a vague thing. You know, you got my attention now. What shall I do for you? What is it that you want? You know, so ladies and gentlemen, you can use the cry for God's mercy to get his attention. But when you get his attention, tell him specifically what you are asking of him. Don't just be vague and leave it there. So this man, he said, Lord, that I might have my sight, that I might receive my sight. This is what he man wanted. And the Lord said unto him, go thy way. And I love it when the Lord always says that. Go thy way. Hallelujah. Thy faith has made thee whole. Now, what kind of faith was it that this man had? It was also an unyielding, unstoppable, relentless faith. He would not be shut up. I mean, he would not be, you know, denied when people told him, shut up. No, nobody could shut him up. He cried out the more. And at the end of it, he got the results that he was looking for. So far, we've seen multiple stories of people that would not be denied. Genesis chapter 32 is a story of a man called Jacob, you know. And, you know, he's running away from his brother and all these things and various things happening to him. You know, one day he had an encounter with the angel of the Lord. And in this story, let's pick it up at verse 24 of Genesis 32. You know, we'll pick it up here. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. Well, we turned out later on that we found out it was the angel of the Lord. I mean, there was a wrestling going on. What kind of wrestling? The man wanted to leave. Jacob said, no. You are going to bless me. Otherwise, I'm not letting you go. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is another perspective. He said, look, let me go. Jacob said, no, you haven't blessed me yet. So nobody is going anywhere today. It's like, you know, in my language where I come from, there's a proverb that they say that, you know, we're going to put on the same pants or trousers, which is what we call it over there. We're putting our legs into the same part of those trousers. Nobody's going anywhere, you know. And Jacob held on for a blessing. And the end of the story we see was he was even told that he has power with God, like a prince. Because he would not let go. And at the end of the day, the angel even had to, you know, use a tactic on him to disable him for a minute so that he would let him go. Because this was a physical thing. It wasn't anything. It wasn't entirely spiritual. He had a physical encounter and he grabbed the man, grabbed onto him, said, bless me, you know, and the man wouldn't, you know, do it at first. But Jacob would not turn loose. And, you know, this wrestling match went on all night. He wouldn't go. And he wouldn't let him go until he got a blessing. Well, that's another example of relentless faith that would not be denied. You know, I mean, the man could have just, you know, the angel could have just blessed him right away. You know, but he didn't. But Jacob would not turn loose until he got a blessing from the Lord. Now, many stories like this in the Bible that I love. The one that I love best of all these stories is the story of Hezekiah. So two places in the Bible, I will read the one from Isaiah 38. Now, Hezekiah, according to Isaiah 38, he was sick, you know, and he was grievously sick. So let's read it from Isaiah 38 and verse 1. Now, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, you know, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Now, that's Isaiah the prophet. And this Isaiah, powerful man of God. you know, and he strengthened, you know, several kings in his time. And he came and told him, well, the Lord has already seen this, your sickness, and this sickness is unto death. You know, and he said, put thus said the Lord on top of it too. I mean, it wasn't Isaiah just telling him that, look, I think you are going to die, so why don't you set your things in order, because you might not recover. No, it wasn't Isaiah saying that. It was the Lord that said it, and Isaiah came and reported it. Though, you know, Isaiah said, thus saith the Lord. And we don't know Isaiah to be saying thus saith the Lord when the Lord didn't say it. I mean, this man prophesied great things. Prophesied the coming of the Lord. You know, prophesied, you know, I mean, so many things. How God will heal us through Christ. How Christ will pay for our sins. In Isaiah 53, many marvelous things that this Isaiah did. You know, and he told this man, you are going to die. You are not going to live. This is what the Lord has already shown. So, but what was Ezekiah's response? I know you know this story, but let's bring out, you know, a few elements here. What was his response? Now, this is even more serious than getting a bad bill of health from a doctor. It could be just as bad, but this is serious because this is a noted prophet that came and said, thus saith the Lord, this sickness is unto death. And so set your house in order because you will die and you will not live. You talk about receiving a death sentence. That man received a death sentence right there from the mouth of the prophet. And the prophet said, it was thus saith the Lord. I mean, that can sink your heart. You know, I mean, people may come and tell you a vision that they saw that you are going to die. Or, you know, something bad is going to happen to you. All kinds of negative things. I've had, you know, in my life, I've had situations like that. And people say negative things and so forth. My response was always the same as this. You know, it's like, look, you know, Numbers 23 and 23, you know, and Jeremiah 29 and 11. I always said, look, God's thought towards me out of peace and not of evil. You know, to do me good and not evil. And to give me an expected end. And there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither any divination against Israel. I always stand in the word of God. Numbers 23:23 tells you that. And Jeremiah 29:11 tells you the other. But this man, here's what he did in verse 3. Here is Ezekiah's response. Remember now, O Lord, I beseech you, how I have walked before thee in truth with a perfect heart. Did not God say, you know, this same Isaiah, I mean, in Isaiah 41, you know, this same Isaiah, he was the one that said, look, produce your strong cause, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons, saith the King of Jacob. Isaiah 41 and verse 21. This is the same Isaiah. He said that. You know, say, look, bring forth your strong argument. You know, let's hear it. And the Lord said the same thing again in Isaiah 43. And verse 26, you know, he said, look, put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare it that thou mayest be justified. Well, Ezekiah is going to do exactly that here. And he said in verse 30, Isaiah 38 and verse 3, he is going to declare and produce his strong reason. Rather than just saying, well, you know, I'm going to die for sure. Because the mouth of the prophet has spoken it. I am not going to recover because the medical doctors and all the things have said it, you know, and so on. You know, they've even done the tests. They've done this and that. See all the negative things, you know, but Isaiah said the word and he just left. Ezekiah, on the other hand, he turned his face to the wall and began to pray. And he wept sore before the Lord and said, Lord, remember, I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and I've done that which is good in thy sight. He pleaded his cause. You know, yes, at times when you have to do that. So the Lord invited us to do that. Say, plead your cause. Produce your strong reason. You know, let's reason together. And this man said, look, I have walked, you know, and you, I mean, he began to pray. And it's like, you can pray prayers like, you never told us, Lord, to serve you in vain. And you know how I have served you with a perfect heart. I have done this and I have done that by your grace. And I have loved the Lord with my heart. And here's the things you promised for those that fear the Lord. And you know how, Lord, I have feared your name. And he began to make his argument. You know, and the word of the Lord came to, you know, Isaiah. And while he was left, and before he even got out of the palace courts, what the Lord came back to him, and he said, you know, go back to Hezekiah and say something else. So it's what I told you to say then, and this is what I'm telling you to say now. Now, go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard your prayer. Well, thank God that in this case, it was swift. But sometimes it's not swift. Hezekiah could have been there crying for days and months, you know. But in this particular case, the Lord answered rapidly and sent Isaiah back. And Isaiah told him, the Lord said, I've heard your prayer. I've seen your tears. And I will add unto your days 15 years. This was a man that was going to die in a few days. God says, I will add unto your days 15 years. And I will deliver you and this city out of the king of Assyria's hands. And I will defend this city. And God began to tell him many things. You know, and of course, this guy asked for a sign. And God gave him a sign. You know, the shadow of the degrees. That's how they watched the sun back in those days, the sundial. You know, it normally progresses one way as the sun is going down. The shadow dial that they put a stick down there to show the dial. You know, that's how they tell in those days. And he said, well, you know, it's not a difficult thing for the sundial to move forward because that's the direction in which you go. Let the Lord cause it to go backwards. You know, and the Lord did it too. You know, for every one of those 15 years, you know, the thing moved back. Hallelujah. But the lesson here is this man would not be denied. Even though he got a sentence of death, which was pronounced at thus saith the Lord. I mean, what is the situation that you're facing today? This man would not be denied. There are other stories in the Bible like this where people would not be denied. And the Lord himself told us, you know, these stories that we should not give the Lord any rest. Any rest at all. You know, he will answer you speedily, he said. Even though he tarries, continue to pray. Isaiah chapter 62. Let's take a look at verse 6. Praise the Lord. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day or night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence and give him no rest until he established, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Now, this was an invitation. It's an invitation, it's an exhortation, it's a commandment, it's an exhortation. Anyhow you want to say it. But the Lord is saying, look, when you are praying, give the Lord no rest until he does that thing that you are praying for. And the same thing that Jesus was saying in those parables. So here's the thing today. When we stand, this is a posture that we must maintain. The punchline out of today's lesson is to change our posture of faith from one that is yo-yo and up and down to one that is relentless. You just stay right there, no matter how long it takes. The promise that God gave through the mouth of Moses to Caleb and Joshua, because they were the only ones that believed the Lord. The other 10 that went with them did not believe anything. Said, we can't do it. Giants are too much in the land. They're going to kill us. Swallow us up. And the Lord gave a word that these ones will inherit the place. He took Joshua and Caleb, Caleb especially in this case, because Joshua was the one that's now dishing out the land. He took Caleb 45 years. I mean, even though he believed the Lord with all his heart, it took him 45 years to get a hold of that promise. And finally, he said to Joshua, look, you know, I was 40 when I began to go out. And when your Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me and you and others to go and search out the land. And because I wholly believe the Lord, the man of God said to me that you shall inherit this place. And that was 45 years ago. Now today, you know, I'm 85 and I'm still as strong then. So I need, you know, that thing that was promised. Give me! And he pointed to the mountain that he wanted. I want this place right now. But it took him 45 years. You know, it took Abraham 25 years. Some of us thought, well, that was great. Well, it took Joshua even longer. I mean, Caleb, even longer. I mean, there are many, many stories like that in the Bible. And they would not be denied. The story in John chapter 5, we don't know how long the man, you know, that was crippled, the infirmity, 38 years, we're told. We don't know how many of those years that he came to the pool. But we believe that he kept coming. But he has had the situation for 38 years. How many of those years he came, we don't know. But he kept coming. And every year he missed his opportunity because he wasn't fast enough to be the first to get into the water. But he kept coming. He could have been discouraged, given up, and sat home and said, well, you know, this thing was probably not meant to be. Maybe it's God's will that, you know, this thing be on me like this. And then we just resign into the thing. Well, it is never God's will. Even though God tarry, even though it looks like the thing is late in coming, it's never God's will for us to be sick. Sickness came into this world because of the disobedience of Adam and Eve. And, you know, unfortunately, the sickness has passed on to both the righteous and the wicked. You know, and, you know, it's unfortunate, but that's the case. And even though Jesus paid the price on the cross and the beating and everything that he did for us, today, sometimes we still fall sick and all kinds of things still happen. And this man, crippled, and he couldn't get in fast enough. But because he kept coming and kept coming and kept coming, one day, you know, that cripple, you know, that crippling that was in his feet, and all of that, the, you know, lameness and everything met it match in Jesus. Hallelujah. One day Jesus stepped up to the scene, and knowing this man's condition that he has been like that for a long time, Jesus asked him, would thou be made whole? Tell it to me, Jesus said. The man said, of course, but I'm not quick enough. We're all waiting for the moving. It's getting to time. We think it's around this time, but you got to be the first. So the man's telling Jesus, you got to be the first to get into that water after the angel moves the thing, stirs the pool. But I'm not quick enough. You know, somebody else always gets in ahead of me, but I'm hoping one day it'll be my opportunity. You can't get in too early. It's not going to work. You can't get in too late. Got to be the first. So he's telling Jesus this whole thing. And Jesus said, okay, I hear you, but forget about the water. Forget about the angel. That's not the way that you're getting your healing today. I'm right here. Hallelujah. You know, and that's another lesson for us. Look, this man kept coming and kept coming and kept coming. But the day that God would answer and turn that situation around and change his story, it didn't come the way that he thought it would come. There are many ways that God can do things, you know, but, you know, sometimes we think it's going to be this way, you know, but God may do it that way. Sometimes we think it may be that way. God, but I may do it the other way. For my ways are not your ways, saith the Lord. Neither are my thoughts your thoughts. You know, and as the heaven is higher above the earth, so far are my ways than your ways, saith the Lord. The book of Isaiah chapter 55. So ladies and gentlemen, that's our lesson today. What is it that you are praying for? You know, I've talked about sickness, but it's not only sickness. We've had people in this room believing God and say, look, I will be married again. Or, you know, I will have a child. Or, you know, this business thing, venture will spring forth. Or, you know, whatever it is. I mean, you know what it is. You know, but sometimes there seems to be delays. The aspect that I'm bringing in today, which you already know, but, you know, it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to me that I will stand in this posture of encouraging people, you know, until you are all crossed over. Hallelujah. Stand right there. The priest did in the firm ground until everybody passed over. And so our lesson today is this. Even when there is a delay and sometimes a long delay, and even sometimes God appears to say no. What are you going to do when God says no? When you know it should be, the answer should be yes. I mean, yeah, when God says no and you know the answer should be yes, what are you going to do? You know, this man was told he was going to die by the prophet of the Lord. But he wouldn't take that no for an answer. I will be healed. I need to be healed. The other woman praying for her daughter, despite all the things that Jesus threw at her, she would not be denied. The man praying that the angel should bless him would not be denied. You don't bless me, nobody's going anywhere. On and on and on and on. The widow crying out to the judge, though the judge sent her away, she'd come back. And eventually the judge had to give in. She's going to weary me out if I don't do this thing. And the man that's knocking at his friend's door, you know, I need some bread to set before my guests and the stores are closed. Go away. My children are sleeping. You know, but the man kept knocking. If you don't get up, he's going to wake up everybody in the house. You know, and Jesus said, look, this man is not going to get up and give it to him just because he's his friend, but because of his importunity, because of his, you know, relentlessness, because he would not give up. He would not stop and he'll keep knocking, you know, and if I don't do something, you know, he's going to wake everybody up in the house. Jesus told these stories. So the lesson today is that, look, you got to stay at the point of prayer and the point of faith, no matter how long it takes. That's the lesson for today. Don't give up and don't give in. Stay right there. You pray about it today. The thing has not changed. Pray about it again tomorrow. That's not lack of faith. Some people say, well, you know, that's lack of faith. No, Jesus said men ought always to pray and not to faint. That was the lead off in Luke chapter 18. He said, to the intent that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Then Jesus began to tell them these stories. So you pray today, you pray again tomorrow. And after that, you pray again the next day. But when you pray, you mingle it with thanksgiving. And you mingle in worship. And when everything else seems to fail and not working, you call upon his mercy. And that's right. That always gets its attention. It's not that we don't get it. I don't know. I cannot tell you the reason why. I mean, we know that God hears our prayers. 1 John chapter 5 verses 14 and 15 tells us that, look, when we pray and ask anything according to his will, healing, blessing, you know, anything that comes with the kingdom, which Jesus says it's the Father's good pleasure to give it to you. We know it's his will to give us these things. You know, we know he hears us. And if he hears us, then we know we have the petitions we desire of him. But then why don't we have the petitions already? I mean, why must it take weeks, months, and even years sometimes? I don't know. I can't tell you that. And if anyone tells you they know, they don't. We don't know. Sometimes God answers quickly. Sometimes he delays. Sometimes he looks as even it is no, you know, and so on. All the stories we have read in the Bible. But Jesus said, look, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Keep on praying. And Jesus said, look, though he be along with you, he will answer you still at some point. But when the answer comes, will you still be at the point of faith? Will you still be believing? You know, that's what Jesus said in Luke chapter 18 and verse 8. He said, the Son of Man shall come, and when he does, will you still find faith? Or would you have quit? But stay right there. Don't quit. Show the Lord that you've got, you got some resilience, and you are right there, you know. And whatever the reason is, I don't know why the Lord does it. My prayer is that I don't want to find out if I'm tough enough to hang out there. I'm going to believe God for his mercy. I don't want to find out. I don't want to have to find out if I'm tough enough. Because if you say you're tough enough, well, the Lord may make you wait a long time. See if you are really tough enough. So, Lord, I don't want to find out. I don't want to have to find out whether I'm tough enough. Whether I can, you know, tough it out, you know. All I ask, Lord, for your mercy now. Make haste, O God, to help me. Make no tarrying, O my God. That's my prayer. Because, you know, I don't know whether I'll be strong enough, whether I can hang in there, you know, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. How long? I don't know. Why God doesn't do it quickly? I don't know. But one thing I do know is hang in there is what Jesus is saying. I'm going to pray for us again in this room today. And from time to time, you will hear me come with encouraging messages like this. Not because you've never heard it before. Not because you don't know it. But because the Lord said, stand right there until the people are crossed over. Hallelujah. You know, so I'm going to stand right there, you know. And I'm going to give these exhortations of faith and stuff like that every day. Empower you to go through the day believing God. You know, it may be today. We don't know. You know, if that man had stayed home that was waiting for the steering of the pool, you know, on that particular day that Jesus met him, if he had stayed home that day because he gave up, because look, I've done this so many times and, you know, it never worked anyway. You know, so he stayed home, he would have missed out. So you never know which day it's going to be. It may be today. And I believe with all my heart, this is how I always do when I pray. I always believe that it is today. Hallelujah. Because Jesus said, look, what things soever you desire when you pray. Now, that when means at that time that you pray. Not later, not, you know. It's at the very time that you pray. That's when you believe. What things soever you desire at the time you pray. Hallelujah. You can read that in Mark chapter 11 and verse 24. So I always believe that faith is now. You know, all I got to do is believe at the point in time I pray. If I pray tomorrow, I believe. If I pray today, I believe. If I pray the next day after that, I still believe. At the point of my prayer, I'm going to always believe. Now, God may immediately respond. And maybe he will, maybe he doesn't. I don't know. But I'm going to keep on believing. The heavens may be brass, but I'm going to keep on believing. By my faith, I'm going to give the heavens permission to act on my behalf. And whether I see it immediately or not, I'm going to keep on believing. You know, the one thing I don't want is for the Lord to say, well, you stop believing. I don't want to say that, him to say that. Well, we know that long hope wearies the heart. So I pray, Lord, make no tarrying and help your people and show mercy, O God, thou who alone art the merciful and gracious God, who alone forgives iniquities and has mercy on thousands and generations even to follow. Have mercy upon your people here today who are looking unto you. They are looking for healing. They are looking for a husband. They are looking for a child. They are looking for a job. They are looking for, you know, help in their finances. They are looking for help in their marriage. They are whatever it is that they, you know, the thing that is lingering in their lives. Lord, I pray today in the name of Jesus, give everyone the faith and the courage to continue and to keep on believing and not to faint. Hallelujah. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. We'll pray today And if the situation is still there tomorrow, we'll pray again tomorrow. But we believe that it will be answered today. Because one day, it will be today. Hallelujah. And today may be that day. And every day, we believe that it must be that day. I'm not praying with the sense of, oh, I'll come back and pray again tomorrow. No, I'm not. I'm praying right now that it will be done today as I'm praying right now. However, if for whatever reason it doesn't happen as I think, or it may have happened, I may just not have seen it. Just like the tree that Jesus cursed died right away, but they didn't see it right away. You know, it took some time before the thing withered away. So I don't know that God hasn't answered just because I haven't seen it. He may have answered. There may be other things delaying the answer, like in the case of Daniel. You know, the answer was sent forth, but some other things were causing delays along the way. So just because you have not physically received the thing doesn't mean God hasn't dispatched it. You know, just because Elijah had not physically received the rain doesn't mean God has not sent the rain. But Elijah had enough sense. He understood that even though God has sent the rain, because the Lord told him already, there's going to be an abundance of rain today. Even though the Lord already said that word and he's not seeing it, he knows what to do when he's not seeing what God already said yet. When as yet you don't see what God already said, what must you do? Well, you do exactly what Elijah did. You continue to pray and you continue to check it out. You pray some more, you check it out. You pray some more, you check it out. And, enough time passes, you know, my goodness, the heavens will open up. There was an abundant torrential, you know, downpour of rain. Ladies and gentlemen, that's our lesson today. Have faith in God and pray always without ceasing. Let your requests be made known unto God with thanksgiving. And don't give up and don't give in. Your relentless, unstoppable, and unyielding faith will eventually bring the desired results. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. We give you all the praise and glory. Let the hands of your children be encouraged today. And let their hands that were hitherto hanging down, let it be strengthened and lifted up. Let the knees that were feeble, they've been praying on their knees. Their knees are feeble. Say, look, enough already. No. Let those knees receive strength. Let them pray some more. Hallelujah. And let's praise the Lord also. While we're waiting, let's praise the Lord. Put some praise into action. Show the Lord some faith by praising the Lord like, you know, Jehoshaphat did, by putting the praise ahead of the battle. You know, put the praise in action. Put your praise in action. Show the Lord your faith by standing there and not doubting and not giving up. And the element of waiting is something that all of us will experience from time to time. But may the Lord grant us the strength and the grace and the encouragement through lessons such as this, that we will stand right there and will not give one inch until we see the goodness of the Lord. Ye that make mention of the Lord, give him no rest and give him no peace until he establish the thing that you are believing him for. Pray every day. Pray until something happens. That's an acronym for PUSH. Pray until something happens. You know, keep praying and don't give in and don't give up. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And he will. He will answer you speedily. And though it tarry, wait for it. It will not tarry long. It may seem like it's long, but one day when he does it, you know, it says it will be like those. I mean, when the Lord finally turned our captivity, we'll be like them that dreamt. And we'll be able to say, ah, see what the Lord has done. What we've waited for has come to pass. See what the Lord has done. See what the Lord has done. Oh, see what the Lord has done. See what the Lord has done. What we have waited for, he has brought it to pass. See what the Lord has done. That's going to be your song. in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.